in the book of Revelation. All right, the second chapter, we talked a little bit about Thyatira. I want Brother Taylor to come and read the third chapter. Now, the Bible said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. Tonight, as Brother Taylor reads the third chapter of the book of Revelation, I'd like for you to try to concentrate on what he's telling you and try not to grow weary. The Bible said, he that hath no control over his spirit is like a city with a broken down wall. Don't be interested in your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Just take it easy. You can eat him up later. He can eat you up later. Like somebody said, when you first marry, you feel like you could eat him up, and after you're married a while, you wish you had to eat him up. I tell you, that sounds pretty true sometimes. You wish you'd done something with him. So if you got the right kind of boyfriend, he'll stay around. He ain't going to run off. If you got the right kind of girlfriend, she'll stay there. Same way with the young married couples. You just hold on. You know, you're in the house of the Lord. Get your mind on the Lord. And you people that have your mind on your bellies that want to eat all the time, get your mind on God. You that want to make money all the time, you that want to evangelize all the time, get your mind on the Word just a little while here. Just a little while. You fault finders and them that resent and all the kind of things, just get your mind on this. All of our singing quartet back here now, it's good to sing, but get your mind on the Word. The Lord will give you a new song. Brother Taylor, come and read to us, if you will.
Chapter 3 of the book of Revelation. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Brother Taylor read to you here in the book of Revelation, and I would like to try to talk just a little bit concerning. You know, there's one thing that we need in the house of God, not only here but abroad, and that is reverence and respect for the ministry. We don't have it. We don't have it. The Bible said, esteem them worthy of double honor that labor in the gospel. You come into the house of God and a minister stand before you, you ought to be fearing and trembling. To know that you're in the house of God and that judgment begins in the house of God, you ought to have the deepest respect and the deepest honor for them. People in the day we're living in have no honor and respect for anything. Even the law, they don't even respect and honor the law anymore. But it's still just as powerful as it ever was. I don't desire honor of the flesh, but I desire the respect toward the Word and honor toward the Christ that is trying to reach your soul. And unless you have it, and unless you change from the way that you are, you'll never be able to make the rapture. There's no way. You need to come into church. The Bible said that we are to enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise, not with resentment, like some of you do, but with praise. Come in with praise, and come in with honor. You that resent, that are stubborn, that are rebellious, that's the spirit of witchcraft. Like David said, he had a vision the other night, said he looked out there, and there was a witch in the midst of the people. Stubbornness is idolatry. I remember telling a man one time and his wife, I explained to his wife how that there was a spirit of stubbornness and rebellion that had a hold of them. And I said, that's a witch spirit. And she couldn't believe it. She went home, standing in front of the fire. Some of you heard me tell it. There, as she was standing in front of a fire in a vision or a dream, she saw a witch come up, begin to cut her hair off and throw it into the fire. A woman's hair is a symbol of glory. And it showed that that spirit was stealing the glory of God from her because it was an evil spirit, a witch. Idolatry, just to be stubborn, just to rebel, is as the sin of witchcraft and idolatry. You might as well go over yonder with those heathens over in Africa and get you one of those idols and worship one of those idols or worship Confucius or something like that as to rebel. Might as well to quit calling yourself a saint and be a witch. Because in the day of the judgment when God looks at you, He'll see a witch. He'll see one who worships idols. So we need to have great reverence and great respect when we come to the house of God. Don't treat the house of God like you do your home. Don't come here with a light-hearted air of lethargy and unconcern. Don't do that. Come in here with deep respect, deep fear, and deep reverence. Bible speaks of the ministry and speaks of the minister saying, will ye not be afraid, seeing that he is the minister of God that is set there before you to execute judgment upon them that do evil. He has the power of judgment in his hands. He can remit your sins or he can retain your sins. Will ye not be afraid? The Bible Bible said, I ask you the question, will you not be afraid? Jesus said, will you not be afraid? Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Will you not be afraid for conscience' sake? In that you can't even have faith unless you reverence the house of God. We need to be hungry and we need to be thirsty. We need to come alive in the things of God and begin to receive something. I noticed that I have this group of people here, and I try to tell you about Jesus, and I try to explain things to you, and I try to perfect that which is lacking in your understanding and in your faith as much as God has shared with me to do. But I notice as a consequence of all that I do, that those that are on the outside are the ones that's getting it and you are not getting it. A brother come to me the other day. He said, Brother Pike, tell me why it is that the people are not getting what you said. He said, I know they're not getting it. It's just like it was with the Jews. The Jews got self-righteous. They had Christ in their midst. And they just took it for granted. It's for our four and no more. And the rest of the world dogs. God loved us and He set the revelation right down our midst. And as a result of it, the Lord Jesus blinded them, took it off, and gave it to somebody else. He'd done the very same thing to them people over yonder in Olive Branch. He'd done the very same thing to Brother Branham's followers. They're there today confident that they have the revelation when all they have is a lot of books, a lot of written knowledge, and don't even have the inspiration of the Spirit working in their midst. All because of self-righteousness. Not fearing, not reverencing, not honoring what God is trying to do. Resent, always resent. There's hardly a time that I ever come up here behind the sacred dais but what I don't feel resentment. And most of the time it's coming from the same one, all the time. Most of the time. A demon is a demon. Like I told Brother Gerald, long before Satan overthrew Gerald, I said, Gerald, I said, there's a spirit working against you. I said, I can see it. I can tell it. I tried to describe it to him. I said, it's going to subdue you. And I told him what the results of it would be. But Gerald couldn't believe it. He couldn't receive it. But he told me just the other day, he said, I wished I had listened, Brother Pike. He said, I can't figure out how I ever got in this kind of condition. Some of you are the same way. You mark what I'm telling you. It's going to happen to you the same way. Because you won't listen. You just won't listen. You won't receive it. Spirits are real. How many believe spirits are real? Spirits are real. I talked to J.W. Lucille's husband. I talked to him almost all night one night. And I told him what the Lord had shown me. And I told him the heartaches and troubles. Jimmy was there. That he was headed for. But he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen. It wasn't long before Satan tore his home to pieces. Tore his family apart. Completely wrecked everything. Why? Because Satan is real. Satan is real. He's no respecter of person. He'll get you, he'll get me, he'll get anybody that'll let him. Friend, you better wake up. I tell you in the name of the Lord, you better wake up. I come here and I preach to you, and I get the fear of God on you. You get that fear, and then you do all right through the service, and then you go out and you get in that same frame of mind that you was in before. And then when you come back here, you're just exactly like you was in the last service. But you better get away from it. Better get away from it. Now some of you have done well in that you've become so afraid that you won't let that spirit that's on you be turned loose in the service. You hold it back, but you have by no means gotten rid of it. In the book of Revelation, Brother Taylor read to us, was it the third chapter here? Now I want you to notice this. The other night, we spoke to you concerning Thyatira and how that they had words. How that they were willing to work and to do something for God. But here in the 13th verse of the 3rd chapter, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And anoint thine eyes with eyes saved, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now, for 2 or 3 nights, we tried to explain what we could. And always try to go back to one thing in explaining these things. The Bible said, he that hath an ear. Now you say, Brother Pike, why does God say he that hath an ear? Because everybody doesn't have an ear. Amen. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Everybody's not the church. There's a lot of people in the world, a lot of religious people. But everybody is not the church. There are just special ones. That's the church. It might be 500 people in a meeting. Out of a meeting, there might just be 3 people. That is the church. Brother Branham narrowed it down one time and made it so little, so small, until he said in a big city like New York or Atlanta, Georgia, or Chicago, said it'd just be just a handful of people that will be pulled out of that city, that will go in the rapture. You say that's not Bible. But did you know the Bible tells us that straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it? You say, but I'm trying, Brother Pike, to get in. The Bible said Esau sought repentance with bitter tears and found no place of repentance. You say, but if I try, God will let me in. But the Bible said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. He said, for many shall try to get in and shall not be able. In other words, a lot of people feel like, well, if you're trying to go to heaven, then that says that you can go to heaven. But that's not it at all. There's going to be people that has fasted, people that have prayed, people that have left their families, people that have gone for years on the evangelistic field that's going to go to hell. Strive, Jesus said. Make an effort, a special effort, to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and shall not be able. You've got to try. A lot of times I exhort the brethren, where the Bible said, serve one another with love, or in love, serve ye one another. Well, we have a tendency not to want to love one another, not to want to serve one another. We've got our own ideas about our own ways. And the Bible tells us to look on the things of another, not the things of our own. That's how that I know so often that these, a lot of evangelists is running around here and there. A lot of the brethren, I try my best to get them to help me a little bit, carry the gospel. I know for a sure thing that they're wrong. You say, how do you know that they're wrong? Because the Bible said, look not on the things of your own, but to look on the things of another. If they were right with God and right in the Spirit, they'd be looking on the things of another. They wouldn't be seeking their own. The Bible said, charity seeketh not its own. Seeking your ministry doesn't give you a ministry. I don't know what it'll have to do to ever get that over. Seeking your ministry doesn't give you a ministry. Seeking the welfare of others and trying to help the widow, help the orphan, and trying to do something for God and God's people give you a ministry. Jesus came in. He began by turning the water into wine, doing something for somebody. Then he went down there and he washed somebody's feet. Went on over there and he caught some of them and he prepared them a meal on the banks. Fixed them some fish to eat. Then took them out in the desert and took a little loaves and fishes and prepared them another meal. Took some more out and prepared them another meal. He was doing something to help humanity. When Peter's wife's mother was healed. The first thing she did, the Bible says she arose and ministered to them. Some women and men alike, I've heard them speak. They say, well, that means she got up and preached to them. That doesn't mean she got up and preached to them. Like somebody told me, said, Jesus said, I came not into the world to be ministered unto, but to minister. So I said, I got to preach. Jesus wasn't talking about preaching. To minister means to give your life, to give yourself to God. The Bible says the woman arose and ministered to them. That is, she got up and fixed them something to eat, something to drink, did something for them. Jesus came to minister, to give his life, not to have somebody to do something for him, but to minister to others. But not the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church is a self-righteous church. They've got their own ministry. They've got their own ideas. They've got their own ways. As a consequence of it, they don't have nothing. Jesus said, you don't have nothing. He said, you're lukewarm. Lukewarm. He said, you're neither hot nor cold. You're not a sinner. He said, neither are you a Christian. He said, you're not hot or cold. He said, I would that you were hot or cold, because you're lukewarm, said, I'll just spew you out of my mouth. You ain't got nothing, he said. Spoke about the churches. When he spoke of Laodicea, he spoke about the churches. He said, all of the tables of God are full of vomit. All of the tables of God are full of vomit. Now, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I will spew you out of my mouth, Jesus said. All of them full of vomit. Well, they said, we fasted, Lord. He said, but not to make your voice to be heard on high. In other words, you had a ministry. You want to be on television. You want a big tent. You want somebody to hear you say what you felt you ought to say. More people are interested in getting somebody to hear them say what they feel like they want to say than they are in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ or knowing anything to say. Like Ted said, the Lord took me aside and began to tell me to get out of all the foolishness. He said, I'm tired of people coming up there and telling me that these done this and they done that. He said, I'm tired of hearing that. He said, I don't want to hear that anymore. In other words, I want to be like Jesus. He said, those things don't edify. And he made good sense. Ted really said some things that was good. I mean, sound. He said the Lord was doing something for him. But some people don't stop long enough to ever learn anything. They're just in a continual spew all the time. Continual spew. And a lot of time foaming out their own shame, the Bible said. The Bible said that these are wandering stars. They don't have any light. And he said they're great waves of water foaming out their own shame. In other words, what they say isn't edified. It isn't for Christ. It doesn't cause anybody to turn away from their sins. They just foam out their own shame. In other words, they do something that's foolish. They do something that's fleshly. They do something that's not to edification. Just foaming out their own shame is all they do. He said if they had stood in the counsel of God, the one thing they would have done, they would have caused the people to turn from their sins. Laodicea. The word, as you know, means people's rights. The woman wants her rights. She says, bless God, I got a right to do this, and I got a right to do that. And the husband, you've mistreated me, and I ought to be able to do this. And the husband says, bless God, I ought to be able to do this. And that's her attitude. People's rights. The Negro said, I want my rights. The Japanese said, I want my rights. American said, I want my rights. Everybody wants their rights. But I want God's rights. I want God to have his way in my heart and in the church. I don't care about my rights. If somebody hurts my feeling, I don't care about that. Somebody takes what I got, I don't care about that. As long as I know God's pleased with it, I care about that. I'm not interested in my rights. I'm interested in God's rights. The Bible said, who will declare his generation? I want to declare the generation of the Lord. I'm not interested in declaring generations of my own or people. The Bible says some men build cities and they build great things and said the desire of their heart is that these things continue and last all and on after they're gone. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in putting up a building here and it called after my name if Jesus tarries to make me something in the eyes of somebody. I'm not interested in building a campground so I can have a reputation. I'm interested in publishing the gospel of Christ. I'm interested in perfecting your faith. In trying to help you. That's what I want to do. I'm not interested in sitting around here playing nursemaid, sticking sugar tits in people's mouths. I'm not wanting to do that. I'm not wanting to pet you over and over and over. I want to help you to grow up into God. I'm not here to pet you. I'm here to warn you and to tell you about the coming judgment that's coming upon you and your house and upon them, all of them that dwell on the earth. The Bible said for you to pray always, not whenever you take a notion, not whenever it's convenient, not whenever you feel good, but to pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape them things that's coming upon the earth. For as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth. That's my wife and my children. That's me. That's you. That's everybody. That's the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Pentecostals, the ones that call themselves the bride. All of them. Now there's one way that you can be kept from it. Because thou hast kept the words of my patience, then Jesus said, I will keep thee from the temptation that is to come upon the earth and the world and them that are therein to try them that dwell on the earth. I will keep you because thou hast been patient enough to hear my word and to keep my sayings. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my sayings. Jesus said, if they love me, they'll keep your sayings. Said, if they don't keep your sayings, you know that they ever kept my sayings. He said, if they're on me, they'll hear you. Said, if they don't hear you, they won't hear him that sent you. I noticed the conversation today kept edging back. Some of them did. I noticed one brother had changed his mind altogether. But another kept edging back to not following after man. I finally told him, I said, let me tell you something. I said, there's no way to follow God and to receive the gospel except you follow man. There's no way to do it. That's foolishness. For people to talk like that and to preach that, that's nothing less than foolishness. I've often said this, if a man don't believe that you've got to follow a man, then why does he get up and preach to the people because he's a man? He must expect people to listen at him. Paul said, be ye followers of me as dear children, and follow me as I follow Christ. Jesus was a man. Laodicea, lukewarm. We won't follow no man. We won't follow nobody. Do like they want to. Filled with their own ways. Every man's turned his own way. Let the kingdom of God do the best it can. Laodicea. The Bible said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. If you've got an ear tonight to hear what the Spirit said to the church, then you need to listen. Some of you don't have an ear to hear. I know you don't have an ear to hear. I know that you don't. I've told people things like this in the past. They rolled up at me and got real voices and said all kind of things. 3 years later, they come back and they say, Brother Pike, it's the truth. If you ever spoke it in your life, when you told me that 3 years ago, I didn't even know what you was talking about. Said, it's absolutely true. I didn't have an ear to hear. Said, now I have an ear to hear. I know what you said was true now. I know that I was vainly puffed up by my fleshly mind then. I know it now. But the way they acted then, you could have never told it. He that hath an ear. You say, how do you know, Brother Pike, that we're not in the Spirit? The Bible said if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the desires of your body, your own thoughts. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you know that we're in the flesh? Because the Bible said there's envy among you. There's strife among you. Paul said, I would speak unto you as spiritual. That is, I would preach revelation to you, Paul said. I'd like to bring forth revelation, Paul said. Because he was called Paul the Revelator, just like John was. He said, but I can't speak to your spirituals. He said, because you're still carnal. He said, there's envy among you. There's strife among you. There's malice among you. He said, isn't that the traits of humanity? Don't you still walk as men, Paul said? When you resent, when you find fault, like I said to Ted today, I said, Brother Ted, listen. I said, if I see you as Ted King, when you're born again, you're the body of Jesus Christ, that I see you as a fleshly being, then I acknowledge your faults, I acknowledge your mistakes, I acknowledge your wrongs. I said, then that proves I'm very carnal, just as carnal as you are. More so. Because the Bible said not to know any man after the flesh. The Bible said you can't lay anything to the charge of God's elect. You don't know a Christian after the flesh. There is no such thing as a blemish on a Christian. There is no such thing as a mark against a Christian. You don't know him after his mistakes. You don't know him after his errors. If you can't go to a Christian and talk to him as a brother, or go to a sister and talk to them as a sister and discuss their wrongs and errors and mistakes that they made with them instead of somebody else, there's something wrong with you. You're caught. You're knowing them after the flesh. And I said, Brother Piper, you said they don't have any mistakes. Sure, they're full of mistakes. Got all kinds of mistakes. But not in the Spirit, not in the sight of God, not according to God looking down upon them because they're the body of the Lord Jesus. But big men, walking as men, they still have errors, still have mistakes. But none of that's ever charged against them. Not one spot, not one blemish, not one stuff. Never anything charged against them. But it's our job as a minister to reprove you, to rebuke you, to bring a chastening, to try to make you grow up into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ, that that inward perfection might be brought forth in an outward manifestation to redeem the body, that we might, with the adoption of our bodies as sons and daughters of God, that inward perfection that was wrought at Calvary through the full knowledge of God, it's got to be made manifest in your outward body, and that outward body has got to completely subject itself to the inward perfection, or you will be lost. Now, somebody said, Brother Pike, how can you be perfect on the inside and be lost if you don't perfect the outside? It's just this simple. If you don't perfect the outside, it's a positive proof you never did have the perfection on the inside. Jesus said, cleanse the inside of the platter. After a while, it'll take care of the outside. If you get right on the inside, my brother, it will perfect the outside. The Bible said, the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Christ, it will lead you into all truth and righteousness. Won't be nothing left out. It will subdue your body. Paul said, I keep under my body and I bring my body into subjection. Lest after I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. Laodicea, lukewarm. Don't have any spiritual vision. Don't fast. Don't pray. Don't study. They go to church, yes, like Cain did. They go to church, but not for the benefit of the gospel. Not to grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord. They go to church. The Bible said grow in the knowledge of the Lord. But my friend, they don't want to grow in the knowledge of God. They didn't have time to listen. Not only does the Bible command you to listen, but Jesus said, give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard. Blessed any time you should let us live. We not only should listen to the gospel, but Brother Gonzalez, we should give more earnest heed to it. Take heed unto it, the Bible said. If the law gives you a warning, you better take heed to it. Because if you don't, you're heading for trouble. If God tells you something through the ministry, and just think of it like this. Did you know that the law, which is out here, the sheriff and the deputy and the officers and the patrol, did you know that they're only symbols in types in shadows? And the penalty that they impose upon your natural outer man is only symbolic of the penalty that the ministry imposes upon your spiritual man. That's why you get in trouble like you do. Bible said, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way, lest at any time he deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the jailer, and the jailer cast thee into prison, and then you won't come out till you pay the uttermost farthing. Like Brother Gerald said to me the other day, he said, Brother Pike, he said, I'm in prison. He said, you told me that God would put me in prison. He said, I'm in prison now. I know, he said. Can't get out. He said, I need the help of the brethren. I need them to pray for me. I need strength. I need help. He said, I purpose in my heart I won't do this. I go do it anyway. I purpose in my heart I'll do right. I can't do it, he said. I end up doing something else. See, put you in prison. That's why some of you go through long spells of sickness, long spells of suffering, go through all of the poverty and the disappointments and the problems, one thing right after another, because you are in a spiritual prison. You won't listen, and God's always having to deliver a sentence to you because you won't listen. But the Bible said if you be good and obedient, then you'll eat the good of the land, and God shall give thee the desires of thine heart. See, if you just be good and obedient, that's all. Do what the Bible tells you. The Bible says, they that believe my prophets shall prosper. Believe what the ministry tells you to do. That's all you got to do. Laodicea, lukewarm. Got to do things their way. Tonight, talking with you. I've been in Revelation during the day, mine for hours. I've not felt any drawing at all here tonight for Revelation. Not any that I can tell today or tonight. Today, I had one or two men that drawed Revelation continually in the mind of God, talk continually. Tonight, I got a whole congregation. You know what it is? We're not hungry and we're not thirsty. Those people don't have the pleasure of being around the revelation of God, and when they come in here, they're starved to death and they just can't wait to hear something from God. They're starved, they're hungry. Well, what's the matter? We're filled up with our own ways, our own ideas, our own plans. You say, but Brother Pike, we've got the revelation. My friend, you haven't got anything the way you act. Not anything. There's people here in my midst. The way that you act and the way you do, it's positive proof to me that you've never even seen life. The Bible said he that sinneth, he's never known God or never even seen God. The way some of you do, you've never even seen God. The Bible said the pure in heart shall see God. God is a spirit. You better have eyes to see, eyes of understanding. You're known by your doings. You don't have purity of heart. You don't have cleanliness of heart. You've never seen God. You've never come in contact with God. Laodicea. Lukewarm church. You know what? The Bible said John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He wasn't in a Bible study. He wasn't in conference with somebody. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. When we come to church, why don't we get in the Spirit? I said the other night, that's not running and jumping and hollering and screaming. The Spirit is the mind of God, the Word of God. When John was in the Spirit, there's no place where he jumped and hollered and screamed. I know he can do that. I saw him do it today. As a result of being in the Spirit, they sat there just like this, listening. And then after a while, when he'd be able to stop off, they'd just have a fit. Somebody said, Brother Pye, Do you mean they really, well, we're just more reserved? No, you're not more reserved. You're more involved. Not reserved. Somebody said, but when we hear the mind of God, it just don't do that to us. My friend, when the mind of God comes forth, the stars do a little dance. When the mind of God comes forth, the moon. When Joshua spoke back there, the moon stood still. Amen. The sun stood still. When the mind of God comes forth, it affects everybody everywhere that can hear it. When the mind of God spoke, Lazarus come out of the grave. You've not heard his voice. The Bible said you're not his sheep. That's why you've not heard his voice. When you hear the voice of God, it does something to you. I can hear the voice of God. I can be sitting at home by myself. And when the voice of God comes, I break all to pieces on the inside. I just break. Just like you put fire to a candle, I melt on the inside. At the voice of God. And then you tell me that you hear the voice of God. The Bible said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What is that little song they sang? John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That little song, you heard him singing up in the Utica meeting. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Then is when he heard the voice of God. He heard a voice behind him and he turned around. Why don't we get in the Spirit? Why do we come to church night after night and we don't get in the Spirit and we don't get in the anointing? Why do we do that? Well, you say, Brother Pike, we're in the Spirit. It's just you. Well, maybe that's true. But I want to remind you again that I've been in the anointing of God today to the extent I felt it like it was about to take my inner soul out of me. And the mind of God continually rolling today. Then where is that tonight? You know what it is? You're yet carnal. Paul said, I would speak unto you as spirituals, but you are yet carnal. You don't draw spiritual things. You don't draw spiritual things. If you were spiritual, you would draw spiritual things. But you're carnal and you draw carnal things. So it's nothing to do but preach to you. I started teaching through the book of Revelation, hoping that it might take hold, that it might take hold, that somebody might get a hold of it. People are hungry. On this last trip, we sat in Brother Allen's home, and ministers circling the table. Men and women alike wanted to get to the mind of God. And we sat there. We sat around the table till up in the night, and I would have to get up and leave and go upstairs because I couldn't take it any longer in my body. Why is it? Jesus said, Israel, all day long I've outstretched my hands to you. I've had my hands stretched out to you all day long so I can't get near it. Is that right? All day long God is wanting to do something for you. But you're too busy. Your mind is too preoccupied. All day, Israel, I have my hands stretched out to you. I tell you, it's getting late. Real late. We need to get spiritual. We need to get hungry. We need to get thirsty. We need to wake up. Wake up. Wake up. So that we can see what's going on. I appreciate your time tonight, talking to you and exhorting you a little bit. We come together. I try to exhort you a little bit. I appreciate your attention. But I still want to tell you that what we need to do is wake up and do like John did, get in the Spirit. Some of you are so far from the Spirit. The Spirit be so far into your way of life and your way of knowledge until if the Spirit of a living God came here and taught with you, you wouldn't even know it. You'd never know anything about it because it would be foolishness to you. The Bible said the things of God are foolishness to the intellectual mind. It's foolishness to the carnal mind. Did you know that according to the Bible, even preaching is foolishness? The Bible said by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God that men should be saved by the foolishness of preaching, because even the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. Even when a man gets up and hollers and screams and yells, trying to get something over, that's greater wisdom than the wisdom of men. Even the foolishness of God. Paul said, I'm a fool for Christ. I want you to stand with me.